It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome to The Natural State. This show is coming at you from Little Rock, Arkansas. It's not only the state capital, but also the place where the 92nd annual Outdoor Writers Association of America Conference took place. This organization, of which I'm a part, is some 700 members strong, and we go to a different city every year for our conference, where professionals who communicate about the outdoors gather to learn about issues and about better ways to communicate through writing, photography, video, and yes, through audio broadcasting too. Our home was the DoubleTree Hotel, and I will definitely give this place an enthusiastic 5-star rating, not only for its location along the Arkansas River in proximity to the downtown core, but for the great staff, clean rooms, and great conference catering and work they do here. The town of Little Rock itself, I love it. There is really something to Southern hospitality, and it's on full display here through the friendly, outgoing people you'll meet in this city of 200,000 souls. The downtown core of museums, restaurants, and bars are well worth a visit day and night, and if you're into nature in an urban setting, Little Rock has got you covered. First off, you've got the Arkansas River Trail, and this paved trail not only follows this big river for several miles on both the Little Rock and North Little Rock side of the river, but it also boasts some wonderful art along the way, not to mention an amphitheater that is popular for concerts and other places to drop by. One of those places, by the way, is the Whit Steffens Jr. Central Arkansas Nature Center downtown. Operated by the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, you'll learn about fish and wildlife and the management of it, past and present in the natural state, and you can check out live fish and reptiles too that are on display. Better still, this nature center is open 7 days a week and admission is free. All of this may want to make you explore Little Rock and the Arkansas River further. There is a place to rent bikes and kayaks downtown, also just off the river trail, called Rocktown River Outfitters. And as you will hear later in this program, a special place called the William Kirsch Preserve at the west end of this city that's owned by the Nature Conservancy and offers the chance to paddle among a forest of flooded cypress trees along the Little Maumelle River. We did just that during this trip, and we'll tell you more about it in the hour ahead. During our conference, we talked about racial diversity in the outdoors, and I'm proud to air an interview with Eric Morris. He's the founder of the Black Wolf Hunting Club, an organization meant to get more black men and women, as well as others from racially diverse backgrounds, into the field to hunt. Eric is launching a new television program on the Pursuit Channel this fall called The Non-Typical Outdoorsman, and I think you're going to be very interested in what he has to say and what he's doing. Little Rock offers some great opportunities for outdoors recreation and fishing, but so does the state of Georgia. And if you go there, consider a fishing vacation at one of their many state parks. Colby Moore is the communications manager for Georgia State Parks. They had a booth at the conference, and he's going to tell you where to go fish for bass, trout, redfish, and more in the state of Georgia. Getting back to Arkansas, there is plenty of fishing to enjoy here too, and we've got just the person to tell you more about it. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we're talking to Brian Hendricks. He is the outdoors columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, published here in Little Rock, where we are attending the Outdoor Writers Association of America annual conference. Brian, great to see you again. It's been a while since our fishing trip in Mexico.
Good to see you again, too. And the fishing here is quite a bit different than what we experience down there.
You're not going to get any striped marlin like you did down there, that's for sure.
Don't count on it. No. No, we have Arkansas's a fisherman's paradise. It really is. We have opportunities here close to fish for largemouth bass, spotted bass, striped bass, crappie, panfish, even, you know, non-traditional species. And we've got a lot of different places to do. We have the Arkansas River, which is right out our window here. We have upland highland reservoirs, and we have mountain streams. We have cypress rivers and streams down south of us. We have within an hour, 90 minutes of any direction, just about any freshwater fishing environment that you can imagine.
Well, let's start with the Arkansas River, that, again, literally right outside the Clinton Doubletree Hotel where we're recording this. I know that there's a statewide bass tournament that happens here every year, the Arkansas Big Bass Bonanza, as I recall.
It is the largest amateur bass fishing tournament in the country, and it's a one big bass deal, the largest bass caught in a three-day tournament, which ordinarily would begin on June 28th. Because of the flooding here on the Arkansas River, they've had to postpone it to an unspecified or undetermined date. But, yeah, it runs the entire length of the Arkansas River from west to east, and whoever catches the heaviest bass over that three-day period wins $100,000.
Wow. Now, I presume we're talking just largemouth bass, or are we talking spotted bass, too?
Well, it could be both, but spotteds don't get that big. But usually it takes, I did some math on it, on average it takes around about a 6.5-pound fish, sometimes more, sometimes less. But if you can get in that range, you have a good chance of winning that. But also they give a lot of hourly money out too. So the biggest fish, they divide it into pools. So the top three fish every hour. Let me take this back. It's $10,000 for the biggest bass in each of the pools. And then $40,000 extra for the largest, so it's a $50,000 deal. It used to be $100,000, but they spread the money out. So $10,000 for the each pool, $50,000 for the overall winner, and then, you know, several hundred dollars per hour, every hour for 3 days.
Well, I'll tell you what. Whether it's $100,000, $50,000, or $10,000, you just gave me several thousand reasons to come to the Arkansas River to go bass fishing in the next couple of weeks. Let's talk about some other fishing. You've got some unique species here, you know, besides bass and the panfish you talked about. I'm guessing catfishing gets some real attention here in this part of Arkansas.
Yeah, catfishing is very popular, especially here on the Arkansas River. It's natural, you know, everything in Arkansas is natural catfish habitat. And, you know, you went up on the Little Maumelle River on a kayak trip, and that's, you know, prime place to do that. Flatheads and there are quite a bit of blue catfish in the Arkansas and channel, and they get to be not as big as they do farther down in the Mississippi River and even in the White, because it's pretty intensely fished, but you can look to catch double-digit fish easily.
Now, I know when a lot of people think of Arkansas, they think about big, big brown trout.
Yep.
Where do I want to go in Arkansas to catch some of those fish?
Well, the nearest one is about just a little over an hour north of here, in near the town of Heber Springs, and that's the Little Red River, and it flows out of Greer's Ferry Lake. And there's an interesting backstory to that too, because Greer's Ferry Dam was the last public event that John F. Kennedy attended before he was shot.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea. How big did the trout get there?
The biggest one to come out of there was 40 pounds, 4 ounces, and that held...
Whoa. Say that again, please.
Let's do it this way. 40-4. 40 pounds, 4 ounces. That held the world record for a long, long time. It was broken by a Michigan fish back in 2008.
Unbelievable. 40-pound brown trout caught just an hour from Little Rock, Arkansas. You've got the White River. Isn't that very well known as a big brown trout stream, too?
It is. It's farther north, and that's almost to the Missouri border. And that the most famous section of that, it comes out of Bull Shoals Lake. They call that the Bull Shoals Tailwater, but it's the White River. It's a very long stretch of water, and it's very well known for trophy brown trout. Large rainbow trout, it's stocked with hundreds of thousands of them a year. Special regulations on brown trout that also has cutthroat, Bonneville strain cutthroat trout that are doing very well, and that's a big draw for people to come from all over to fish for those, and limited numbers of brook trout.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, there you go, folks. Whether you're after trout, whether you're after catfish, whether you're after bass, and maybe some money to go with that bass, lots of reasons to come to Arkansas, lots of reasons to come to Little Rock, and If they're coming here, they need to keep up with what you're doing with your Outdoors column and the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, as well as your radio show. Tell our listeners about that, where they can catch that.
Well, I do a radio show every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. on 103.7 FM, The Buzz, with Ray Tucker. The show is called Arkansas's Outdoors is a Natural. Ray Tucker's Arkansas's Outdoors. And we're going into our fifth year. It's been a fantastic experience, and we do all hunting and fishing, all Arkansas, all the time.
There you go, folks. All sorts of reasons to come to Arkansas, and a couple great resources to plan your trip. Brian, always a pleasure to talk to you, and I can't wait to do so again on America Outdoors Radio.
It is good to see you again. Thanks for visiting our fine town, Little Rock, Arkansas.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're broadcasting from Little Rock, Arkansas, in front of a fountain next to the old State House and in front of the Doubletree Hotel. The reason we're here is because we're broadcasting from the 92nd Annual Outdoor Writers Association of America Conference. And with me here today is Eric Morris. Now, Eric and I actually have a lot in common. We're of a similar age, and we have similar experiences. Both of us served in the Army. Both of us were combat arms officers. Unlike me, you actually served in several war zones, and thank you for your service. But one thing that separates us is the color of our skin. And I want to talk about racial diversity in the field, because you and I both know this. In fact, you are very aware of this because you're working on this issue. When it comes to going out hunting, whether it's for deer, whether it's for turkey, whether it's for dove, whether it's for ducks, you don't see a lot of black men or women in the field, do you?
No, you don't. You don't. But I would tell you, John, that we are out there. And what I've learned is that in my, I guess, mission of getting more diversity outdoors and more people of color hunting, I can tell you that black people do hunt. The thing is, a lot of black people tend to hunt on private land or land that they already own. So when I hunt public land, because most of the land hunting that I do is on public land, you're right, I don't really see a lot of black people. But through my work and through my travels, I've learned that there are a lot of black people that do hunt.
You're doing a couple of really neat things. One of them is you founded an organization called Black Wolf Hunting. You've also got a brand new TV show coming out called Non-Typical Outdoorsman. We're going to talk both those in a second. But before we do, you're not aware of this, but we've been actually covering the decline of hunting in America and getting more people out in the field to go ahead and stop that decline and get those numbers back up. So we've talked about getting new adult hunters out. We've talked about getting women hunters out. But we haven't talked about getting people of different ethnic and racial backgrounds out. And so what are some of the barriers that you're seeing to black men and women getting out there and hunting, especially on our public lands, which are so prevalent in so many of our states?
Well, the biggest thing I've seen with black men and women is the barrier is a self-imposed barrier. Because right now, I mean, this is 2019. It's not 1919 or 1819. And a lot of the limitations and barriers that I've seen from black people are self-imposed. Public land is there for everybody to hunt. Like I said, I hunt majority of the time on public land just because it's there. But I know that to get more black people out there, or just anybody from other ethnicities, they have to feel comfortable with going out. And a lot of people, you know, some people come from hunting backgrounds. I did not come from a hunting background for my parents. But the thing is, the people who want to hunt have to get that introduction.
And that's really critical. And, you know, you're part of a great panel today that was talking about this very subject. And, folks, let's face it, this can be an uncomfortable subject. Yep, it really can. But that really hit home. I was introduced to hunting by my father. I think most people who hunt were introduced. And there's a generational breakdown because my father was introduced by his father. I even hunted with my grandfather's first shotgun. Mm-hmm. But for most black people, you don't have that just because of the way that, let's face it, folks, black people have been treated in much of the history of the United States.
That's true to some extent. But then, too, John, you have to remember that hunting is a cultural and a regional type thing. I'm from Alabama, so I'm a country boy, southern boy. And a lot of us do hunt. I mean, my daddy did not hunt, but growing up, there were plenty of people around me that did hunt. So a lot of, you know, the barriers, and you talked about the decline, you know, in addition to this being 2019, it's a different era in America. A lot of us who try to get more diversity involved, we often refer back to the days of old, you know, when our grandparents hunted or when there were quail in Central Park. In today's time, though, you have to remember that there's a lot of other devices and other things to distract people, you know. Hunting for you with your granddaddy, that's great. Some black people still do the same thing, but, you know, times are changing. So whereas a lot of people hunted for recreation and to get away from the house and doing chores, in today's time, you know, it's just a different time. So a lot of black people, like I say, we do hunt, and hunting is on the decline across America, but, you know, black people are out there hunting.
Well, let's talk about what you're doing with black wolf hunting to get more people of color hunting. Now, is this just for black people to go hunting black wolf hunting? Is that what it's targeted towards?
No, and actually the name is Black Wolf Hunting Club. When I initially founded it in 2010, I did so because I realized the need to get more people of color hunting. Initially, my goal was, you know, to focus on black people, but then I, you know, started thinking. I said, hey, you know, everybody can benefit from this. So what I wanted to do was to reach out, spread the word to other people that hunting is okay to do, we've always done it, and to just get more people hunting. So the organization was founded as a grassroots organization where I would go into people's home, community centers, introduce people to hunting, find out who there wanted to hunt, and then take them out on different hunts, and then try to establish chapters across the country. But I've met challenges.
And I'm guessing the biggest challenge is you can only spread yourself out so far. You've got chapters around the country, but you need people in charge of those chapters who have a background in hunting, who have experience in hunting, and that are willing to be mentors. And I don't care whether you're black or Asian or Hispanic or white, that's a challenge across our entire United States to find people willing to do that.
Right. It takes commitment. And I know there's a lot of guys and women out there who will take the time. But what I found, though, John, is that when it comes to hunting, a lot of people are down for the cause before hunting season comes along. But once hunting season come along, they suddenly don't have the time or they're busy doing this. But essentially, a lot of people aren't as committed to the cause as I would like for them to be. There are some, but it can be tough. Because I'm the founder, you know, I'm with it until the end. But a lot of people, you know, they're doing it because they believe in it. But as soon as they start meeting a few challenges, then they tend to kind of just back off and just lose interest.
Bottom line is this. When it comes to the Black Wolf Hunting Club, you're looking for people who want to get involved and be those mentors.
Right.
You're also looking for people who want to participate, too. What's the website we need to steer them to or the Facebook page?
Well, you can find us on Facebook, which is Black Wolf Hunting Club on Facebook. We did have a website, but I'll tell you guys out there that's listening. Right now, you know, the momentum has kind of slowed down with Black Wolf Hunting Club. So, you know, the website is not up.
I get it. All right. So Facebook, folks, for the Black Wolf Hunting Club. And as you just heard, Eric needs a little help. This is a great idea. It's a great initiative, but he needs help. Participants, yes, but mentors who have some experience hunting that are willing to go ahead and help out in different areas, that's what he really needs. Now, let's talk about, speaking of momentum, something else that's coming up. This is really exciting for me. You've got a TV show coming out on the Pursuit Channel this fall, is it?
Yes, on the Pursuit Channel and on AT&T Texas Sportsnet Southwest. The name of the show is Non-Typical Outdoorsman TV. And so the show is going to be a continuation of my effort to get more diversity in the outdoors. With Black Wolf Hunting Club, you know, that's more of a group contribution to make it successful. With the outdoor show, I feel that I can reach my same goal of getting more diversity, regardless of the ethnicity, but I can do so much more, reach a greater audience with a television show that will show things that you don't normally see. When's the last time have any of your viewers out there seen a Asian person hunting, seen a black woman in her 70s on the firing range shooting guns, seen a black person on a horse, seeing black and white people hunt together? My show will show what America is really like and not just the one slice of the pie that we tend to see today.
I absolutely love the concept, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to be watching. I wish you great success on this. The show, again, is Non-Typical Outdoorsman TV. Look for it this fall on the Pursuit Channel and AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. I think this is going to be a great show, and I really applaud what you're doing. If we can help you on America Outdoors Radio, what you're doing, you just let us know.
All right, thank you. Hey, I appreciate all you guys out there for listening. I'm going to be doing my best to bring you all some good entertainment, bring you a show that represents America. And if any of you guys want to contribute, you can write into the show with John, and he can tell you guys how to get in touch with me.
Eric, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you, and have a good day.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. We're broadcasting from the state of Arkansas today. It's part of our experience with the Outdoor Writers Association of America. We're holding our annual conference in the beautiful city of Little Rock, but I've taken a little trip today. I'm at a Nature Conservancy property right on the edge of Little Rock. We are at the William Kirsch Preserve within Ranch Northwoods. We've been canoeing amongst the cypress trees and the Little Mamile River, and our guides today have been Lizzie Couch and Devin Schlaudroff from the Nature Conservancy. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for a wonderful day on the water. Really enjoyed it. Canoeing is one of my favorite things to do. And the landscape that we canoed through today was absolutely fabulous. So, Lizzie, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this really special place that's literally at the edge of an affluent neighborhood in Little Rock.
Yes, John. We're excited to be here, and thanks for having us. The William Kirsch Preserve within the Ranch Northwoods is a beautiful spot, mainly because most of our preserves are out in the middle of nowhere, and this one is right smack dab in the middle of town. We love visitors to come see our, you know, places and recreate. We want people to see this beautiful spot. It's 123 acres. It aligns 1.7 miles of the Little Maumelle River, and we have hiking trails. There's pastures. There's also spectacular views of Pinnacle Mountain. I think you guys have more majestic mountains than we do, but it's cool. It's a cool hill.
It's a nice hill. It's a very nice hill. We wouldn't call it a mountain back west, but it is a nice hill. It's a great view. But what I like about this is you can, you know, if you're here in Little Rock, it's really easy to enjoy this for a couple of hours like we did. You can either canoe it like we did. You can enjoy it in a kayak. There's hiking trails. How far do those hiking trails go here on 123 acres?
They're about a mile and a mile and a half loop trails. There's also two canoe launches. We want to make it more accessible for our users and friends of the preserve. So we have canoe launch closer to the parking lot, so you can drag your boat just a little bit closer and don't have to haul it so far. But it's a great birding place, and we're not the only ones that love this place. You know, we have great neighbors, we have lots of visitors, and we have lots of partners that love it too.
Well, we're going to get into that in a minute, but before we do, I want to talk about a couple of other things, mainly a day-use area. There's picnic tables sprinkled throughout for you to enjoy a picnic by the water, but there is one place you can actually camp overnight, and I'd never seen anything like this before, an actual floating platform for campers.
Yes, our good friend and supporter, Debbie Doss. She's an amazing woman. She's done so much conservation work in this state. She's an amazing, amazing woman. We love her. She has funded for a camping platform, and you can reserve it on the weekends. I think there's a website you can jump on to reserve your spot, and she calls it the Magical Woodhen Haven because you wake up and you're surrounded by woodpeckers, and it's amazing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what we saw today. Devin, you're a wonderful guide. You guide folks out here all the time, whether they're adults like me or kids that you're just introducing to the outdoors. But considering the fact that there was a flood that came through here a week ago, we saw quite a bit of wildlife today. White-tailed deer. We saw some snakes that were going through the water. Lots of fish near the surface that were bubbling. What else was out there?
Several different bird species, great blue herring to be one of my favorite birds.
I noticed that's your favorite.
Mentioned maybe once or twice. But yeah, so several bird species, like you said, a white-tailed deer. Every time I'm out here, I experience something new. I normally don't bring a group here twice, but to see something different with a group that I'll bring out once every couple weeks is pretty incredible. I think that lends itself to the conservation work between ourselves, the state park that's right next to us, and then our property right next to our other property right next to Pinnacle Mountain State Park. I think those three properties aligned are allowing wildlife to be present in an area that might not be possible without the work of all of us working together. So,
well, one thing I loved, besides the wood ducks, I forgot to mention those, I love wood ducks, is the fact that even though, like I said, we're right on the edge of this affluent neighborhood in Little Rock, you feel like you're a world away when you're canoeing through this forest of flooded cypress trees. It's just so cool, and you're seeing all this wildlife. But there's other user groups that are in here, too. I mean, there's other people that are canoeing that are not necessarily launching right here. They're launching at other places. But you get anglers in here, too, don't you?
Yep. The Little Maumelle River is a tributary to the Arkansas River. There's several launches for the Little Maumelle. Most of the time when I'm back here with groups, I'll see three or four bass boats, several flatbed aluminum boats, typically fishing for largemouth bass, but you can find everything from crappie.
Well, I'm sure there's crappie, bream, and everything else that are back here. Bottom line is this, it's not just people who are environmentalists that enjoy this. And I like the fact that the Nature Conservancy, you are really upfront about working with different user groups, not just here in Arkansas, but other places as well. In Oregon, there's a place that the Nature Conservancy owns where they actually allow elk hunting. So you don't shy away from working with anglers, with hunters, with other people that all have the same goal in mind, conserving these wild places that we have around here.
Yep, that's right. So I think something unique about Arkansas is that a large portion of recreation is hunting and fishing, and we can't ignore that. Hunting and fishing is actually on the decline, which lends an opening for more outdoor recreation sports like we were doing today, like canoeing and kayaking. But fishing is a complete part of that. It's a way to connect these different user groups. And if we ignore that, we're missing a huge opportunity to connect a lot of people together.
Let's talk about some of the other properties the Nature Conservancy has here in the Little Rock area and in other places of Arkansas, too, that folks ought to visit and maybe some of the activities they can enjoy while they're out there.
I mentioned a property we have next to Pinnacle, which is also on the edge of Little Rock, Rattlesnake Ridge Natural Area. It's a beautiful bluff line, about 373 acres. We're building a single track hiking and biking loop. At the end, it'll be about six loops. We just connected it 4 miles. Amazing mountain biking, hiking up to this bluff line. There's a 1 acre pond. We experience a lot of people fishing there, and I usually bring middle schoolers out there to fish as well. It's a great introduction to fishing for them.
Well, and we talked about this while we were paddling along. I love the fact that you're bringing eighth graders out there and they're reeling in their very first fish, whether it's a bluegill or a crappie or a bass. And like we were mentioning, you know, years later, hopefully they're bringing their kids to the same place. And that's the great thing about the Nature Conservancy. It's still going to be here and they can have that memory and introduce their kids to fishing on your little pond too.
That's right. I heard every time I'm out with a group out here, this is the first time I've ever been hiking. This is the first time I've ever caught a fish, which to have the name Rattlesnake Ridge associated with that is an incredible opportunity. And it's the reason why I think the Nature Conservancy in Arkansas is doing such a good job connecting people to conservation through recreation.
Lizzie, going to turn to you for about our last minute here. What are some other big properties the Nature Conservancy has in Arkansas that folks ought to visit?
Well, you guys should definitely come visit. We have this beautiful, majestic Ozarks all the way down to the Upper West Gulf Coastal Plain and the Ouachitas and the, you know, the best duck hunting in the world. Up in our north, we have near Eureka Springs, we have a place called the Kings River. You can rent the deck house there. It sits about 20 people. It's overlooking the Kings River. Beautiful place. We own about 10 miles of both sides of the river. Gorgeous. All the way down to the Delta, we have a new preserve called the Bluffton Preserve. It's 973 acres, and it runs along the Archie Fork of the Little Red River. It's so pretty to see as well, and you can float. It's about 9 miles. We also have some really cool Blackland prairies, and it's called Terre Noire. And, you know, when the area used to be Gulf of Mexico up in the Upper West Gulf Coastal Plain, the Gulf turned into a terrestrial plain, and it's the last remaining blacklands we have in the world.
Well, there you go, folks. The Nature Conservancy is working with a lot of different groups to conserve some beautiful places in the state of Arkansas and around the United States for generations to come. If you want to find out more about the work they're doing in Arkansas, they've got a website for you, nature.org/Arkansas. That's nature.org/Arkansas. We're going to leave the beautiful William Kirsch Preserve within the Ranch Northwoods and head back to civilization, but I'd like to thank you both again for giving me a wonderful day today and for joining us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for coming. We want to see you back.
Yeah, it was a great excuse for us to be out here as well, so we really appreciate it.
We love our jobs.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Hello, I'm Mark Hemstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. Shiloh is proud to be celebrating over 40 years of providing you, our valued Shiloh customers, with Shiloh's sincere friendliness, efficient customer service, and clean, comfortable, attractive, non-smoking rooms and suites, all at an affordable price. Shiloh also offers many free amenities like free Wi-Fi and free continental breakfast or hot, full, delicious breakfast at most Shiloh Inns, as well as pools, spas, steam, sauna rooms, exercise fitness facilities, and business centers. And even the kids stay free. And for you dog lovers, Shiloh is very dog friendly. So ask your best friend where he or she wants to stay. Next time you're traveling for business or pleasure, we think you'll get a paws up for Shiloh Inns. For reservations, call 1-800-222-2244 or visit our website at shilohinns.com. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence. American family owned and proud of it.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands. We've helped ban the use of drones for hunting. We help repair wildlife corridors and key riparian areas. We speak up against illegal ATV use. We collaborate with elected leaders to keep public lands in public hands. We're Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, with membership in all 50 states in Canada. Please join this dynamic conservation group. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
I'm John Cruz. You're back in with America Outdoors Radio, and we've got one outdoors news story for you this week. It comes to you from both Alaska and the marbled halls of Congress in Washington, D.C., where Trout Unlimited reports the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill to stop permitting for the proposed Pebble Mine, citing a rushed and inadequate process. If passed by both chambers of Congress, the amendment would prohibit the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers from using funds to issue a permit for the proposed Pebble Mine. Last week, nearly 50 Alaska-based sport fishing, hunting, and tourism businesses and organizations submitted a letter urging members of Congress to pass the amendment due to the Corps' repeated failure to undertake a robust review of the permit application. That, at least, is the point of view of those businesses. If built, the proposed Pebble Mine would be one of the largest open-pit mines in the world. At risk, according to Trout Unlimited, are 80 miles of stream and 3,500 acres of wetlands, along with thousands of fishing jobs, hundreds of Alaska fishing businesses, a world-class sport fishing destination, and a culture and way of life for Alaska Native tribes and communities. Whether the bill passes the Senate or not is an open question, but groups opposed to the Pebble Mine are hard at work in the state of Alaska, urging Senator Lisa Murkowski to support this and stop the permitting process that could potentially open this mine up for excavation at the head of the Bristol Bay watershed. We'll keep you informed as to how this plays out in the weeks ahead.
Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we continue to broadcast from the Outdoor Writers Association of America's annual conference in Little Rock, Arkansas. But our next stop isn't in Arkansas, it's in Georgia. We're talking to Colby Moore. He's the Marketing and Communications Manager for Georgia State Parks. And if you're looking for a place to go camping and fishing, or maybe even hunting, you ought to look at Georgia. Colby, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Glad to be on the show.
Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of an overview of how many state parks Georgia has and about some of the fishing opportunities that are there as well?
Sure. So, you know, Georgia is the largest state east of the Mississippi River. We manage about 65 state parks. It includes historic sites to the tune of about 85,000 acres in Georgia. Most of our parks have camping, fishing, boating, all the kind of traditional things. Some of the particular parks that are great for fishing, Lake Seminole in southwestern Georgia is a fantastic bass fishing. It's got lily pad covered coves. It's great to get out there and kind of do some topwater stuff.
Well, as a matter of fact, I mean, that's one of the more popular destinations for bass fishing tournaments. I mean, that's one of the best known bass fishing lakes in the entire nation.
That's right. And we've got a state park right on the shores there. You can camp. There's cabins. There's group shelters. There's a boat ramp. Put your boat right in the water from the park.
You also, and this kind of surprised me, we were talking about this before we went on the air here, you've got some great trout fishing at some of your state parks too.
Sure. North Georgia, home of the Chattahoochee River, the headwaters of that river, there are some fantastic trophy trout streams. Smith Gull Woods State Park in Helen, Georgia. People may know Helen, Georgia. It's a very popular destination. That state park has a trophy trout stream. They're catching huge rainbows there. You can stay in the cabins. They're wonderfully decorated appointed cabins, and some you can even fish right off the decks.
That's absolutely amazing. Now, these cabins, I'm sure, are really popular. How far in advance do you have to reserve those?
Sure, those are very popular. You can book any state park accommodation 13 months in advance.
And my experience, folks, is you better do it 13 months in advance if you want a setting like that where you can be in a wonderful cabin and fish right off your deck. Let's talk about some of the other state parks for trout and for bass that are pretty popular with visitors.
Sure. So anywhere in the North Georgia Mountains, even Fort Mountain State Park in Chatsworth, Georgia, has lake trout, which is not...
Whoa! Lake trout in Georgia? That is not what I expected to hear.
That's right. It's a high elevation lake, so there are some lake trout. They're all rainbows, but there are wonderful opportunities there.
All right. That was surprising. Not surprising, but very inviting, is the fact that you've got some state parks that are on the ocean, and some of those ocean state parks offer fishing for redfish and more.
That's correct. Redfish. Coastal Georgia is neat because it's very pristine in the environment. It's the Barrier Islands are great. We've got parks you can launch straight out of the boat. Some of our parks along the coast have bait shops. You can just stop, pick up your shrimp, hit the water right from the park, and go hunt redfish all day.
Now, not everybody's got a boat. So are there any of the state parks that actually have fishing piers on them, or maybe have situations along the coast where there's some good wade and fish opportunities?
Sure. Some of the parks, Crooked River, which is almost in Florida, has fishing right on the marsh. There's boardwalks. There's fishing piers. Some of our piers are ADA accessible, which is important. Some of the big lake parks on both the South Carolina-Georgia line and the Alabama-Georgia line, big fishing lakes. They're some of the biggest bass lakes in the state, all have fishing piers right there.
One other thing I've noticed, just following Georgia DNR's emails, is how diverse the fisheries are in Georgia. You actually have a lot more species of fish than I expected. And folks, you're going to find a lot of those species in state parks. We can talk more about fishing, but I want to quickly change the topic. You're one of those states that allows deer hunting in your state parks. Now, not all the time, and not all of them, and obviously not in the campgrounds, but there are opportunities.
That's right. We run a annual quota hunt system at select parks. It's used for population control, and it's often great hunting because the deer have no pressure for years and years at a time and grow to some pretty impressive sizes.
Well, you were telling me about one young man who harvested a huge whitetail in a state park not far from Atlanta.
That's right. Just north of Atlanta, about 20 miles at Red Top Mountain State Park. Last year at a quota hunt, they harvested a 140-inch whitetail.
Oh, my gosh. Tell you what, folks, state parks never sounded better than me. Go deer hunting, go fishing for either big rainbow trout, for lake trout, for bass, or for redfish, or all sorts of other species. We better give folks a website so they can start planning a trip now.
Sure. Come find all the information at gastateparks.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We put a lot of information there also.
That's gastateparks.org, gastateparks.org for Georgia State Parks. As you just heard, lots of great opportunities for fishing and hunting and camping and fun. Colby, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
At the beginning of our show, we told you about the fact that this is being broadcast from the annual Outdoor Writers Association of America conference. What we didn't tell you was how to join this organization. If you are a person who gets paid to write articles or blogs or produce audio or produce video, and it's about the outdoors, you really should consider joining this national organization made up of outdoors media professionals. If you are a student and you are interested in pursuing this career field, there are student applications for you. And if you don't meet the full qualifications as an active member, well, you may be able to join as an associate member. If you want to find out more about this vibrant and fun organization that will definitely help you up your game when it comes to communicating about the outdoors, go to OWAA.org. That's OWAA.org for the Outdoor Writers Association of America. I'm a proud member, and I'd love to see you come on board too. Another website we want to tell you about is for the Little Rock Visitors and Convention Bureau. They did a great job helping with this conference. We absolutely fell in love with Little Rock, and I'm sure you will too. Whether you're into the outdoors or whether you're just into having a great time in a fun city, go to littlerock.com to plan your vacation now. That website again, littlerock.com. While you're on the web, check out our website at americaoutdoorsradio.com. You can find previews of upcoming shows, get links to the sponsors who support this program, and hear podcasts of past episodes too. Another thing you'll want to be aware of is our Facebook page. You'll find that at America Outdoors Radio. Like us, follow us, and get information that doesn't necessarily make it on this show. One other website and Facebook page I want to tell you about has to do with our sister show. You see, we have been airing a regional outdoor show for over 10 years now. It's Northwestern Outdoors Radio. It covers fishing, hunting, conservation, and also non-consumptive sports like paddling, hiking, camping, those sort of things. But all of these activities and all the focus are in the five states of the greater Northwest: Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming. It is a lot of fun to bring that show to you every week, and you can find a station and airtime near you at northwesternoutdoors.com and keep up on what's going on and enter some of our trivia questions too through our Facebook page at Northwestern Outdoors Radio. Be sure to like and follow that Facebook page too. We've got to go, but I do hope that the good Lord blesses you in the day ahead. I know that even though the sun's been shining for many of us here in America, there are rain clouds, both real ones and clouds that kind of come over and storm over your life at times too. I'm praying that you'll get through them. I'm praying that the sun will come out for you. And I'm praying for some of you that I've met in the past few days that sunnier days are indeed ahead. I also hope that some of those sunnier days find you outside, whether it be in Arkansas or Georgia enjoying some fishing, or whether it be anywhere else enjoying our outdoors, fishing, hiking, camping, paddling, and more. Whatever your pleasure, just get out there and do it. Because, after all, as we tell you every week, it's your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.